News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I keep forgetting to put the Mark and Ben
okay.
in.
That's okay. It is Friday the 13th.
You're all wound up today. Why is that?
Oh, shoot. Yeah, early to rise. Get going. Bob Garrett's in here. I thought he was going to bring some soupy samples, but we're not having that. So, that's good to be here. We're winding down the year. Everybody's peppy, happy, bursting with joy.
Say something.
Soupies and pierogies for breakfast. How's that? Does that give you a sound check?
I'd like to say 1 week late, but congratulations to the Southern Columbia Tigers. What they did this year in football was astronomically...
America's high school team.
I tell you what, it was a heck of a story there. And then I'm glad to see the local newspaper ran some articles on the past champions or you know, who's quote-unquote the best high school team that went back to the... Shikellamy Braves in the mid-60s, the Mount Carmel
Southern first to 10, right?
It's a juggernaut, and hats off to them and their players. And I will say this, sitting with their players at Media Day, District 4 Football Media Day up at the Williamsport Country Club this year, I've got to know Julian Fleming over the years, Gage Garcia, Max.
Name dropper.
Yeah, but no, I will say this, Coach Roth and his staff not only have fundamentally good football players, excellent football players, but they're truly young gentlemen.
In a sentence, Ben, what is there something in the water? What is it Southern Columbia?
Hey, they're just driven to success. I think the Oakland Raiders used to try commitment to excellence. Well, it's right down here in Elysburg. But again, good young men. You interview them after a game. You talk to them on the sidelines. The parents and the fans are there. Winning breeds winning. It's
they start playing football over there at 5 and 6 years old.
Well,
so that's part of it.
Hey, you know what? The commitment is there. But I will say this: there's very good school districts in our area that do a lot of things. The Lewisburg soccer team, Selins Grove field hockey. You know, Shikellamy wrestling back in the day that you see things. But I will, when you go to Southern Columbia, they have a campus there. They have the elementary school to the high school. Those students see each other. They interact. I think football pep rallies. Both schools get together.
I think we're a field hockey powerhouse around here too, right?
Well, Selins Grove has one, and Lewisburg's been good. There's a number, but what they're doing at Southern as a whole school district. And a number of these students who aren't athletes are going to college as well as the athletes. So, hats off to Southern Columbia, and they should be recognized. And the naysayers, you're going to have naysayers.
Who says nay about Southern?
Yeah, how can you be against Southern Columbia?
Well, they do this, they
it's
do
Mom
that, they do this,
there.
They do that. But great to see, though, Shikellamy recognized in the mid-60s, the Mount Carmel teams, which was excellent. Those folks ran off of the Matucci's pregame meal, I think. The Berwick teams that are a little out
now
here.
We have it, Mark.
And
Matucci's,
also
that's the key.
The 09 Selins Grove team that made a state run. A lot of good athletes. And, believe me, in other sports, too. Like I said, what Lewisburg has done in soccer, what the Shikellamy wrestling's done over the years. But, what Southern did last week was... If anybody got a chance to watch it.
Decisive.
Whew. So, Mark, Friday the 13th, let's move on with some...
I'm trying.
I think we have a sponsor here, Sunbury Motors.
Well, we do. We have the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, routes 11 and 15, Hummelsworth. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to do precisely what I have done. Go to the quick lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. Tell them I want to get pumped up with nitrogen. They will pump you up with nitrogen and make sure your vehicles are fully inflated for the winter. But at the quick lane, they specialize in all types of service on all types of vehicles, inspections, nitrogen for tires. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. p.m. and Saturday, 6:30 to 2. They have an alignment shop, a body shop, a car wash shop, and a great big truck shop and great big truck tow trucks, basically cranes that tow trucks around, and they would just very much love to super serve you. They got damage-free towing. If you just have a regular vehicle that you don't want anything bad to happen to it, they'll fix it up perfectly good.
Well, winterizing your vehicle right now?
Yes. So make sure you got good tires and antifreeze.
Yeah,
and
put that spritz in. That non-freezing spritz.
On the washer fluid.
Yeah.
You like that,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah,
okay.
Get that non-freezing.
Thank you. Okay, antifreeze on the windshield washer is what he's talking about.
The non-freezing
spritz. Right, I got you. Okay, good. Thank you. And guess what? If your vehicle's shot, you can go there and get a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln made to your precise specifications. They got hundreds of pre-owned vehicles that are in perfect condition, and that is the Sunbury Motor Company. As you can tell this morning, we're so glad to say that Mr. Bob Garrett, the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, is back. As our show progresses, we're going to open up the line and let Joanne Troutman call in. She is from the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way. She's helping to make sure that some upcoming meetings and some meetings that have already happened talk about UPMC Susquehanna. What is happening there in terms of the hospital? What are the unmet needs around here? What's the potentiality? What are our options, I guess? Is that a better description of what we're talking about?
I think really we've gone through the five stages of trauma at this point, now we can move forward, start making the plans, start pulling together, coalescing around what's the next chapter for that property on top of the hill on 11th Avenue or 11th Street in Sunbury.
Mm-hmm. What has happened in meetings so far?
Yeah. So let me begin, Mark, if it's okay. I'd like to begin with what we know. Okay, and then we can get into what we think we know, and then we can get into a little more of the visionary stuff. What we know is that UPM Susquehanna Sunbury, what most of us know as the Sunbury Community Hospital, it has a non-negotiable closure of March 31st, 2020. This will affect a 70-bed hospital with 153 employees. That 153 number includes the contracted employees who are at the hospital. All of the employees there, all the current employees, including the contracted employees, have been offered positions with the UPMC within the system. So that sort of takes a little bit of the pressure off. Now, not everybody who works in Sunbury is going to say, you know, gee whiz, I can't wait to make the trip up to Williamsport. I can't wait to make the trip down to UPMC Pinnacle in the Harrisburg area. So the career, CareerLink will be having a job fair in January for any folks that want to come. And, you know, you can already know who's going to be at that job fair, the Geisingers, the Evans, Family Practice Centers, et cetera. The current Sunbury Hospital offers emergency care, cardiology, ENT services, orthopedics, urology, psychiatry, general surgery, and senior services. There's a contracted long-term care facility embedded inside of the Sunbury Community Hospital, operated by JDK, Dave Klingerman by name. And when UPMC opened, had their flag raising, it wasn't actually a ribbon cutting, Ben, it was actually a flag raising back in October of 2017. You know, that was a happy day. And we all knew that, but everybody standing there knew this was an uphill battle to try to turn around the Sunbury Community Hospital. We know now that wasn't able to happen. When Joanne calls in, she'll tell us about last evening was the first formal meeting of the community group that has formed around the Sunbury Community Hospital. So that's at the five stages of trauma that I was talking about, the acceptance stage where, okay, what's behind us is behind us. Let's move forward. Joanne can give us much more data. Joanne and I had a very, very, very positive meeting with the Geisinger, representatives of the Geisinger earlier this week. Also at that meeting is Amy Buhner representing the chamber. Amy is a well-established, homegrown, born-in-Sunbury business leader who happens to be the chair of our Governmental Affairs Committee. She'll be representing the chamber at all those meetings at the related to the Sunbury Community Hospital. Do want to extend an invitation. 1 week from today, our regularly scheduled Governmental Affairs Committee meeting will be held at the Lackawanna College Center in Sunbury, up on 4th Street. And we're going to be talking about the Federal Opportunity Zone. We're basically at the point right now to go, no-go on an offer that has been made interesting. Folks may find this interesting. Former Governor Tom Ridge, then first administrator of the Department of Homeland Security, his organization has offered to come in and help us with the federal opportunity zones, both in Sunbury and Shamokin. And we're at a point now where are we going to say yes? We'd love to have your help, Governor, or are we going to say, no, we'll do this alone? And that decision will be made next Friday at lunch.
Let me be a devil's advocate here. I'm going to echo some of the comments we saw on Facebook. If they only have a couple of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 900, I don't even know what the number is going through the ER on per month, and they say that's not enough, and they don't have enough hospital patients there, do we need UPMC Susquehanna Sunbury?
Well, we definitely need, there are absolutely unmet needs in Sunbury. Joanne she's really qualified to talk about this. The behavioral health needs, the psychiatric needs, et cetera, is absolutely a needed service. There's a state-of-the-art emergency room embedded inside of the former Sunbury Community Hospital. It would be a shame to lose that asset. The other thing, Mark, and I'm putting on my economic development hat, my CIDCO hat, if you will, is the one thing we would really like to not happen is to have that entire building shuttered. Because once a building is shuttered, there's nothing deteriorates quicker than an empty building. Well, we would really like to get something in there and keep that building open and never really have a case where the doors are locked and it's not open.
At this point, Clairman's planning to stay, correct?
My understanding is, and he was at the meeting last evening, so I'm speaking on his behalf, and I wasn't at the meeting. But
we're repeating
my
what he said.
I'm repeating. Okay, so this is secondhand, is they do have a long-term lease in that building, and that's wonderful. They have a wonderful lease, but they don't own the HVAC system. They don't own the lights. They don't own the building itself. If a building closes and you have a lease inside that building, where do you go from there?
Who owns them?
UPMC owns the building. The lease is with UPMC.
So they own everything.
Ben, we're now into the area that I talked about, things we wish we knew. We don't have an answer. Today, I don't think Dave Klingerman has an answer. I don't think I have an answer, but I see Joanne's calling in. Maybe she does.
Not calling in. She's on the line. Good morning, Joanne. Thank you so much for checking in.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate that. Tell us about the community meeting that was held last evening among stakeholders and folks that are very interested in making sure that the Sunbury Hospital site has a bright future.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are, as Bob just said, I think there are things that we certainly don't know, and I think we spent some time identifying what those are, namely, you know, does UPMC want to sell the building? What's happening with it? I think folks have indicated that that's been a little cryptic. So, you know, there are a couple of us who've been tasked with doing some outreach to try to nail that down because we can't move forward until we know. And, you know, I think there's some anxiety about, you know, yes, it's 90 days, but that's going to go pretty quickly. And we at least like to not let too much time pass before we know what the possibilities are for that space. You know, we've got some things lined up or trying to line some things up with potential partners to identify who may have interest, if anyone may have interest in taking that property over, whether in whole or in part. You know, but it's, again, we can't do that until we know whether the building's even for sale.
Okay, so, and I asked the question of Bob a little while ago, I'll put it to you, and it's a devil's advocate. I'm repeating what was posted on our Facebook page. If too few people go to Sunbury Community Hospital, do we really need it?
You know, honestly, we spent a lot of time talking about that, and in particular about the inpatient needs. You know, we do have needs in our community, and, you know, the greatest need that's consistently identified on community health needs assessments in particular are needs to address behavioral health. Now, the distinct challenge with that is obviously hiring providers. That's why there, you know, part of the reason why behavioral health isn't more widely available. But, you know, we challenged ourselves to say, hey, look, you know, maybe we don't need another inpatient hospital, but what we do know is we do have other health needs and, you know, urgent care, for example, being one of them. You know, all of the other emergency rooms in our region, I think you could argue, are overburdened. And, you know, losing an emergency room that is beautiful and could be staffed in a smart way, either as urgent care or an emergency room, if that makes sense. So we know that a lot of, and we're trying to find the data to kind of prove this. We think anecdotally, at least, we know that traumas aren't really going to Sunbury Hospital. You know, major medical issues, traumas, accidents, things like that tend to go other places, specifically Danville. But that doesn't mean that we couldn't use that emergency room for other things. And you know, that's kind of what we're exploring.
Joanne, this is Bob Garrett. Good morning. I just wanted to know if you would be willing to just talk us through the process. We hear the words behavior health, but you have an interesting story you've told. I've heard it twice before about, you know, we think there's plenty of healthcare of accessibility, availability in the Valley, but you have an example recently where a person, what did they spend the entire weekend laying in the emergency room waiting to get an inpatient placement on a critically, you know, a chronic or critical, is what I meant to say, behavioral health issue or mental health issue. How does that mental health system, how does it work when a person walks into a hospital?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I have to admit, I don't have a lot of personal experience with this. What I know is what I know from others and what others have told me. In particular, I've been met with a group of moms with Linda Culver a couple of months ago, and we were talking about a young man who had a critical behavioral health need. They went to the emergency room. So unless there's a threat of imminent violence or someone has committed violence, there's little that the police can do in a situation like that. So in other words, like if a parent or a partner is feeling threatened because someone is experiencing behavioral health crisis, unless there is actual violence, they can't arrest them or require them to go or 302 them or anything like that. And so in this situation, the family went to the emergency room because they knew that was the only way that they could get help. It was a Friday night when he got admitted to the emergency room, and that family sat in the emergency room until Tuesday morning until a bed could be identified. Now, he's an adolescent, and so adolescents in particular are, you know, do struggle quite a bit to find. There are only 22 inpatient adolescent behavioral health units across the state of Pennsylvania, and you know, certainly that's better than none, but that is really challenging in particular. Behavioral health overall, so if you're an adult and you're experiencing a behavioral health crisis, the situation or the process is much the same. Now, there's a little bit more availability of inpatient beds, but behavioral health is a really unique thing. You know, not everybody can serve, you know, there are niches, so not every inpatient unit is a good fit for somebody who's having a behavioral health crisis. So that's a challenge. I heard yesterday that there's been reports of people sitting in emergency rooms waiting for a bed up to 17 days. So that is, I think we would all agree, including our colleagues in healthcare, that that's just unacceptable. It's just an untenable situation. And if you've ever been in an emergency room, I know I have, that's a very traumatizing environment. So for somebody who's already in the middle of a crisis, who has experienced potentially trauma or anxiety in particular, that can make the situation even worse. And so, you know, it can be dangerous, not just for the patient and their family, but for providers as well. You know, people become agitated. You know, it's really, really challenging. So, you know, I think what I hear from a lot of people who have had behavioral health challenges, I've had people tell me directly that they couldn't get the therapy, they were on a wait list for a therapist or a psychologist or a psychiatrist for so long that they actually threatened suicide just so that they could get into the hospital and get the help that they need. They weren't necessarily feeling suicidal, but it's how they play the game. You know, you have to play the game in order to get emergent help. And that's incredibly unfortunate. You know, somebody has to say, oh, you know, I'm gonna hurt myself, and that's how you get the help you need, and it's very frustrating.
Well, Joanne, if there's a need for this mental health segment, it seems like the other hospitals in the area aren't addressing that issue either.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And then the problem is availability of providers. This is a nationwide problem. This is not unique to our area. Child psychiatrists in particular are really hard to find. It's a very high burnout. Behavioral health social work is a very high burnout, low pay kind of job. Reimbursements for behavioral health on the whole are much lower than they are for physical health. That's a real challenge, and it's often dictated by Medicaid.
If the insurance companies aren't going to cover it, then the facility in some areas, the facility. I mean, if insurances aren't addressing it at the local hospital, the other local hospitals, why opening up using a facility in Sunbury for mental health if it's not going to be subsidized by the insurance companies or Medicare, however, then it's not going to work because it's not working
anywhere else. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that is actually part of our advocacy and part of the challenge. So in early 2020, we're going to be coming out with a report that talks about youth mental health in central Pennsylvania, and there's a public policy agenda attached to that, and part of that public policy agenda addresses health insurance reimbursements. So there are a couple of issues. I get really excited when somebody tells me that they have Medicaid and they're looking for behavioral health supports, because people with Medicaid tend to have especially children with Medicaid tend to have better access, which is sort of interesting that that's the case. So that is really good. There are loopholes built into the Medicaid insurance that ensure that a child, especially a child with a behavioral health diagnosis, has more ready access to providers. And so, you know, again, that's something that is great, but how do we expand that access and make sure that other insurances are paying for those things? You know, I know that I have seen a therapist myself, and it can be, when you have commercial insurance and you are going to a therapist and you have a high copay, that can be burdensome. You know, you are having to pay, you know, somebody out of pocket $20-$30 every time you go, and if you have to go a couple times a week, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, Joanne, back to you, MPC. So the issue with them leaving, but has anybody addressed the business side with them, with the potential, which they turned down, with the local physicians group that would help them and get involved in the hospital? Has there been any questions from the business side asked to these folks, or is that still in the we don't know category?
I think some of that's in the we don't know category, but I think, you know, UPMC has really given pretty clear indications of their closing. So, you know,
okay,
because
they turned, they had a offer into a physicians group in our area, very similar, and I'm saying not 100%, very similar to what they did down in Carlisle, I believe. And, of course, they accepted in Carlisle. Now I know things are different, but it wasn't accepted up here, so they've decided to shut down. And also, remember, this is Lock Haven. Mm-hmm. It's going to be shuttered also.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Joanne, we'll give you the last word. We have a couple of moments left before the top of the hour. Anything to elaborate on, maybe include in that what is next for the community group that's been meeting?
Sure. Well, I mean, tensions are high. I think there are a lot of people who are anxious and nervous, but, to Ben's point, and I think to Facebook's point about the fact that this is not a facility that's been highly utilized, I think this is an opportunity to get it right. And I think actually, you know, we should be optimistic about the fact that, all right, that the what we had was not working. It's pretty clear from the business perspective it was not working. And so how do we go back now and figure out, spend some time with looking at the data, determining what the needs are and how we address those needs and who the right partners are, and then move forward from there. I think this can be ultimately a really good thing. I know it doesn't feel that way right now, but I happen to believe that change is good. Let's look toward the future. Sunbury's never going to be what it was. And you know what? Maybe that's okay. It's time to look to the future and figure out where we're going from here.
All right. Well, thank you so much for all the information. Thanks for all you're doing. You have an open mic here anytime to keep us up to date and to let the community know about these efforts that are underway to make sure that the facility has some kind of a future and a bright future at that, and some of these unmet health care needs are taken care of. Thank you so much, Joanne. Thanks for checking in.
Thank you for giving the voice, always.
I do appreciate that. Joanne Troutman of the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way. Ben, you mentioned that one physician's group was turned down. UPMC has made the decision and said it is final, but you're saying that part of this is just poor decision-making on their part?
Well, you got to get down to the brass tacks and peel the Band-Aid off, do whatever you want.
Right.
I think people are talking about, you know, Joanne made a comment, Sunbury Hospital or the facility won't exist as we've known it. But again, the community did not support the hospital. At some point, everybody has to stand up and say, what was going on here? People are driving from Herndon to Lewisburg. They're driving from wherever to Danville. They're driving past Sunbury. So what was going on there? But, you know, local physicians group, UMPC is in the business of medicine. They bought a number of hospitals. They didn't want all the hospitals, but they did want Carlisle because that was a pearl, and that fits their business plans. So now what's going to happen in Lock Haven and Sunbury, we'll see. And it's going to be the groups around here, the political, the business, there's the community leaders to what can happen in that hospital. And it will take some people to jump in and say, no, we'll sublease it from you before we buy it, if that's a hurdle. But UMPC is going to make businesses at UMPC.
UPMC.
UPMC. They'll make business decisions for themselves. It'll be probably, let's say they're going to be kind enough to say, it'll be 90% for us and 10% for the community. But they're going to get what they need out of it. Now, how do you overcome that? I think, Bob's group and the other community people get involved. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens here.
All right. Well, to be continued, we're going to keep this discussion going. We still have Bob Garrett of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce with us. So we're going to finish up our conversation. I still don't know what's happening in 2020 with the chamber, so I got to find out about that. And as you can tell, Mr. Ben Reichle is our co-host today, so we're going to find out more about his good observations. He knows what he knows, so we're going to tap that knowledge when we return. You're listening to WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Our toll-free lines are wide open right now. Call us 1-800-795-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. You can text us through the Text Connect system. We've used it a couple times today because of traffic anomalies earlier today. But all clear now. No roads closed. 147, 11 and 15, all wide open. at all locations. No details out on the traffic fatality in the Port Treverton area yet, so we'll keep you posted about that. Bob Garrett of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce is with one of our listeners who may not be aware that the VA says absolutely not. We do veterans care at our facilities only, nowhere else, nowhere else ever, period. She may not know that. She says, what about veterans care at UPMC Sunbury?
Well, I can tell you that the community group that's working together is leaving no stone unturned. And in fact, Ben and I were just talking. We're going to be with a member of Congress this afternoon who actually has direct influence over the Department of Veterans Affairs. And keep in mind that the veterans' homes in Pennsylvania are operated by the state, not by the federal government. The VA is a federal program. The person with the email might be interested in knowing that in Northumberland County, there's a total of 7,487 veterans. So we're talking about a big population. So it's definitely something we're going to follow that avenue and see where it goes. We're not going to accept no.
We've heard a lot of no's in the past, but I'm glad you have the right people, the people who can say yes. Sounds like you're talking to them.
Yeah, no is a good place to start, I always think. So we'll start there. There's clearly a dearth of veteran care services, and with them closing the center in Camp Hill, now that was just a medical center, not a residential facility, but with them closing that, that really, veterans, you know, basically from here, you either go to Scranton or Lebanon.
We're talking about UPMC, Susquehanna, Sunbury. What else needs to be said about that? If anything, have we exhausted the topic in terms of where we can go there?
Yeah, I think the main thing we want to say, Mark, is that the community group met. They had their first formal meeting. There's been several informal meetings. They had their first formal meeting last evening. The group is being spearheaded, being convened, if you will, by Jody Ocker, a decorated veteran. And she did a great job. I was in a meeting with her yesterday. She does a very good job of bringing everybody together, coalescing folks. Also want to mention, next Friday, week from today, it's a luncheon meeting. We'll be at the Lackawanna College Center in Sunbury, and we'll be continuing the discussion about economic development, not just UPMC, but economic development throughout the Sunbury area, and everybody would be invited to come to that. Should I take a moment, Mark, just tell folks a little bit about what's coming up in 2020?
No. All right, you can.
Okay, thanks. You know, Mark, I'm still working through that trauma of you yelling at me during the break. So, and as I say, no is where I usually begin
most
negotiations.
Oh, I told you.
Tough love, Bob.
What did I tell you? Don't fool around if you get, don't blank around.
You didn't say fool.
Don't blank around. Yeah. If you hurry, you can get home before the precipitation.
For sure. Yeah, okay. Well, I have to pick up a Christmas tree on my way.
That was traumatizing, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, you're
very sensitive. I mentioned Governmental Affairs next Friday. That basically wraps up 2019 for the Chamber as far as meetings go. Last evening, we had our Jingle Mingle. That's the big event with the young professionals. We're at the Bull Run Inn. I think about 75 people. Mm. And Catherine Cram, who's one of the leaders of that group, announced all of their events for the coming year. So if you happen to be under 40 years old, or you know somebody under 40 years old, encourage them to come out to our young professionals. It's a fun time. And in January, on January 9th, we'll be at the Iron Vines Winery. That's almost your neighborhood there, Mark. 322 Raspberry Avenue in Sunbury. And that's a sort of a happy hour sort of thing, networking, etc. The big events for next year that folks might want to know with the Chamber, we already have our Young Americans Seminar, the Young Americans Program, the longest running youth recognition, student recognition, almost as long-running as Talk to Santa on WKOK.
Started in the mid-1990s, I would say.
Young Americans, 52nd year.
I'm thinking of Young Professionals. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah, no, the Young Professionals, yeah, they did start in the 90s and then restarted about 3 years ago. But, no, the Young Americans, I can tell you Kendra Ocker was a Young American. John Showers was a Young American.
So outstanding. young American. Not just anybody can be a young American. I was a young American.
Yeah, were you, Mark?
No, not an outstanding one.
Okay. Well, I don't. Now that we have everybody confused, let me make my announcements, would you? But the Young American Seminar will be on April 8th. That'll be up at the Country Cupboard. Then our big first event will be our Food and Wine Festival. This year we roll out to Rusty Rail Brewing Company. It's the Sunday after Easter, so Orthodox Easter, if you keep that calendar. And we'll be out there for our Food and Wine Festival. Should be a lot of fun. Our first summit of the year will be on May 7th. That's our Anthracite Summit, where we focus on the re-energizing, repurposing of the Anthracite region, the coal region, if you will. Then our annual meeting this year will be at Susquehanna University, and that'll be on May 26th. And I'll just mention one last thing, because as we're talking about freezing rain and whatnot, folks will want to know that, yes, summer is coming, and our membership celebration will be on June 30th, which will be a bright, sunny, warm day at Knoebels Grove.
Mm-hmm. And you're still going to come on Financial Fridays and help us do the analysis of the money?
Yeah, first Friday of every month we'll be on. There's probably one of those that we get, we slip to the second Friday. That's dictated, actually, by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Actually, this Friday, the second Friday of the month, normally would be our transportation meeting, a committee that Ben chaired prior to Joe McGranahan chairing.
Prior to you chairing.
Yeah, right. If you go far enough back, somewhere in there, and Todd Roop jumps in there some point as well. But that's usually the second Friday. We took this month off. But we will be here the first Friday of every month for Financial Friday on the Mark. Looking forward to it already.
We got the CSVT. What else do you want?
A lot. We went to Sunbury Community Hospital to be a dynamic place where people get well.
Get health care. All right. Thank you so much, Bob.
Always
Happy New Year. Enjoy all your functions coming up this month, and we'll see you in 2020.
See you then.
Thank you so much. Bob Garrett of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. He's got places to go and people to see and miles to go before he gets home. I told him not to blank around before he gets there. He might even make it in time. We'll take a quickie break. We'll come back with headlines. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
'Twas the days before Christmas, and all through the town, Sunbury Motors was where all the car deals were found. This holiday season will be filled with glee, because out in the driveway is our shiny new Ford from SMC.
At Sunbury Motors Ford, choose from over 20 new Ford Escape 4x4s with discounts up to $9,700. And they're priced as low as $23,915. Pick from over 110 new Ford trucks with savings up to $15,500. And they start as low as $26,794. Take up to $20,257 off of a lease of a 2019 Ford Fusion Energy. That's over half off. This amazing vehicle gets 103 mpg. 2019 Ford Expedition XLTs are slashed $11,550. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 72 months. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
SMC wishes you and your family a safe and joyous holiday season.
How do you save money when you shop for your groceries? If you haven't checked out Surplus Outlet, you're missing out on savings that could go right in your pocket. Hello, this is Justin Michaels, and at Surplus Outlet, we take saving you money very seriously. At Surplus Outlet, you'll find groceries and much more at below wholesale prices. We work hard to buy right and pass those savings directly on to you. At Surplus Outlet, we stock all the items that you would expect at a grocery store, but each week we get new arrivals, and the savings can be tremendous. So you'll want to stop in often. If you love a bargain, get ready to stock up. At Surplus Outlet, we don't play the game of raising some items and then lowering some others to keep you guessing on the best price. Day in and day out at Surplus Outlet, we give you our lowest prices with many brand name products at below wholesale prices. The holidays are upon us, and that means holiday parties and gatherings with family and friends. At Surplus Outlet, we have a great selection of bologna and cheeses to go along with fresh cold cuts from our deli department. Our produce department at Surplus Outlet provides healthy snacks for any size vegetable tray. If you're looking for that special gift, sure to go far, look no further than a Surplus Outlet gift card.
Surplus Outlet, with locations in Northumberland, Berwick, and Montgomery. I'm a coal region girl, and I know my pierogies. Honestly, you have to try Fisher's Boston pierogies. Fisher's Boston pierogies in Shamokin are delicious, just like homemade, because they are homemade. Some of their pierogi flavors include Philadelphia cheesesteak, sauerkraut, Mexican party, loaded baked potato. That one's my absolute fave. Or you can never go wrong with the traditional potato and cheese, just like my mom and grandma used to make. Fisher's Boston pierogies, Shamokin Street, Shamokin. Check out all Fisher's Boston pierogies has to offer on Facebook or at fishersboston.com.
Order your Christmas pierogies now.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones. The bull picks don't take any to the bank. Today, 3 to 5 News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the market. It's Catholic, Episcopal, Lutheran, Presbyterian. Bob Garrett is Lutheran light. He says he's a Presbyterian.
Maybe we can get Reverend Falwell on the phone here.
Get some analysis going on this. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Please avail yourself of our good sponsor. Make sure you tell them that WKOK sent you. SunburyMotors.com. Our toll-free line now wide open. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We had a UPMC Susquehanna Sunbury conversation underway. We have an invitation in to Robert Kane, who's the president of the Susquehanna Sunbury Hospital. And I haven't yet heard it back, but I hope he'll come. He'll come on the mark. He's making the rounds and talking about their losses and so on, so why they had to close. And, of course, the open mic here is extended to folks like Joanne Trauman and Linda Schlegel-Culver and Bob Garrett, who are the conveners of groups that are working on making sure that health care needs continue to be met in Sunbury. So that topic exists. Call us if you have an observation about that. One of our good listeners said veterans care would be a good topic for that hospital. Originally, in the past, years past, the VA said absolutely not. But as Bob said, no is a great place to start. So that's what they're going to do. We do have some news headlines here, and then we'll launch into open phones. Ben's all wound up. He's got information about the impeachment he wants to talk about, so we'll talk about that. He had to stay up last night to see all the testimony. There was a fatal accident on Routes 11 and 15 southbound in Port Treverton this morning. The name of the individual killed not being disclosed yet by state troopers. Happened around 3:30 in the morning. Part of the southbound lanes and northbound lanes were blocked or partially blocked for a time. All of those lanes are now open. Happened in Port Treverton. The all-inclusive playground near Sealands Grove will benefit from sales of a new book co-written by a local author all about the fierce, violent Oakland Raiders, Pittsburgh Steelers rivalry in the 1970s. Jim Campbell, the co-author, says the book begins with a very detailed chapter-long full description of one play during a football game, the Immaculate Reception.
About every year around this time, somebody will bring it up. So it's something that has lived on. It was NFL Films, but I think what they did is they determined by a poll of so many experts that it was the one greatest play in NFL history. And I'd have to agree.
Jim Campbell of Sealands Grove Local, co-author of the book Hell with the Lid Off, about the Oakland Raiders-Pittsburgh Steelers rivalry in the 70s. You can get it at Books a Million or Amazon.com or Barnes and Noble. 7 of 9 House Democrats from Pennsylvania say they will support the 2 articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump that were under consideration in the House. Freshman Representative Connor Lamb of suburban Pittsburgh added his support Thursday to 6 of his colleagues from Pennsylvania, saying in a statement that he believes President Trump abused his power and obstructed Congress. 2 Democrats, Representative Chrissy Houlihan of suburban Philadelphia, and a 4th-term congressman but thought to be vulnerable, Matt Cartwright of northeastern Pennsylvania, have declined to say how their vote. Cartwright says that he is still gathering information and has not yet decided how he'll vote. All 9 Republican House members from Pennsylvania say they'll vote against the articles, and that would include Congressman Muser and Congressman Keller from our area. And finally, Elizabeth Warren's campaign is moving to become the first Democratic presidential primary to hire field staff and open field offices in Pennsylvania. It's a primary state that could be pivotal. Warren's campaign says it's hired a Pennsylvania campaign strategist and will be on staff and open a field office in Philadelphia in the coming weeks. Pennsylvania's primary is April 28th. Write that down. Mm. By then, all this will be decided. It has the fifth most Democratic primary delegates. Warren may have ground to make up in Pennsylvania because former Vice President Joe Biden has his campaign headquarters in Philadelphia already up and running and has deep political ties to the state and has been to Pennsylvania several times in the past year. I know he was here one time to film commercials. Does that count as a visit?
he lives
Delaware,
10 miles away from Pennsylvania.
Right. Well, that's true.
That depends on which part of Pennsylvania you're going to.
Which train he's taking.
And remember, he spent supposedly how many years in Scranton? Not a whole lot, but believe me, when it's works for Biden or it works for Clinton, I mean, Hillary Clinton's family had a cup of coffee in Scranton, and I think Biden was there for a bit more. And then
spent the night in a motel nights.
He was sent to Delaware when, anyway.
All right. One of our listeners sends us a note on the topic of Greta Thunberg, who is the Time Person of the Year this year. It says she is used by adults to further their agenda. Her speech at the UN made her appear as a brat, a condescending brat. Here we get to she is a lightning rod. People, the vitriol against her, it's even worse than some of the stuff against the president. People posting all kinds of memes and cursing her and all this stuff.
She is being used by some adults. I mean, you know, at 16 years old, I'm sure she has some experiences and, you know, has that. But also, too, some of these adults, you know, have told her things are going to happen that, if I was 16, I'd probably be a little concerned about, too. So who are these adults? Is that child abuse? If you're telling children that the world will stop rotating and as the world as we know it will come to an end. So, you know,
who told her the world's going to stop rotating?
Well, it's coming to an end in either 6, 8, 10 to 12 years. So I'm sure when the world stops, the rotation will be varied. But, she's, probably will not be known, and she'll be a question in trivia probably in 2 or 3 years.
Who was the Time Person of the Year back when the planet was cooler? All right, one of our listeners sends us a text. It relates to they're all from the same individual, and they all relate to the impeachment. So I'll try to read them as best I can. Our text
is the one on the bottom a single text.
They're all single. Maybe these two are connected. They came in at the same time. All right, so we'll start at the bottom, the oldest one first. It says, let's see if Boris Johnson gets elected today. We will see if the UK elections work better than ours.
Boris Johnson didn't get elected. He got anointed. Okay. He got anointed to pull UK out of EU, and it's a huge, huge win over there. And it's, I think, next to points of victory over there. I was watching the BBC. I think it rivals the victories by Margaret Thatcher back in the mid-80s. So,
a landslide.
Yeah, so Great Britain or the UK or whichever group you'd like to say is going to, they will be making their own decisions for their own country. And I think they've given the EU, or will be giving the EU, as they say in Pittsburgh, a South Side salute.
All right. One of our listeners says, sorry, there was no hurry up and wait by the Democrats to Trump to get caught with abusing his powers. If you remember, the Republicans had both the House and the Senate and the White House. We, the people of the greatest country in the world, saw lawlessness. In capital letters, says, I've heard the song Baby and It's Cold Outside. Okay, yeah, we asked if anybody's playing that, and the answer is absolutely yes. And another listener says, I want everyone to remember that Ukraine was being attacked by Russia for Trump's campaign. Okay, so
before
well,
Trump's
a lot of these
campaign,
are
or what's
a lot of these texts are old, so that you kind of lose. We're right in the middle of a conversation when they happen.
I think the annex of Crimea happened under the last administration, and that would be President Obama. But why mingle with dates and facts and things that might influence people's opinion?
So, where do you stand on the impeachment?
I think the parts that I've saw, and I saw the Wall Street Journal reporter talking about it, and I think a term that could be used is, I think the movie back in the early 90s, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, is Kimberly Strassel's version of Honey, They've Shrunk Impeachment. I mean, it went from...
so you're not happy with the... You want more charges against the president?
Well, if you here's what I would like. I would like to go back to Joe Friday, Dragnet, mm-hmm. the facts and nothing but the facts, and all people can bring the facts. So as the impeachment started, you had Adam Schiff jumping and barking and telling everybody about bribery, and then extortion, and then quid pro quo, and this and that, and then they had to get out, and they realized that most of the people didn't understand what quid pro quo meant, so then they had to switch back to try to get bribery, and then all of a sudden they come out with three diluted or two diluted charges, obstruction of Congress and abuse of power, which I'm going to say this in a delicate matter, you could probably go back to every president in the United States and make a charge against obstruction of Congress and
so
abuse of power.
So it's common for presidents to commit those crimes.
These aren't crimes. these are what happens when you're in office, and if they're crimes, they would be proven as crimes. This impeachment charade has become a Saturday Night Live skit. I mean, I'm waiting for the UK. We're talking about the election over there. I mean, Monty Python can renew themselves. I'm looking at Benny Hill playing Jerry Nadler on TV. This is, I mean...
Who would play President Trump? Well, you need somebody really over the top.
Well, he'd play himself.
Well, that's true. Good point. So, yeah, he would want to do that.
This has been a civics lesson in non-civics.
And non-civil. Yeah, some of the diatribes yesterday.
Poor.
Holy
it's very
smokes.
Poor. And the way it was stacked. And then you have people, maybe they'll call in here, but you have people on some of these cable news, and I try to watch all three, four, check the BBC for their versions. But you have folks that have made comments that are just ridiculous. You just had an IG report come out, and you still have journalists that are so-called journalists, let's say media folks, that are still saying the dossier had nothing to do with the FISA warrants.
What?
And I know we're mixing things up here with impeachment, but Washington is not broke. It is crippled.
It beyond
is
recognition.
Crippled. I mean, you want to take Washington, and I say this tongue-in-cheek, Washington should be one big handicap parking for the lack of stability in what's going on there. And the frustration is, fair to you, Mark, and fair to me, might be just as uncommon to some folks down there. But, we've seen this as a running joke. But look back over since President Trump took office, or even before he took office, there's been a bunch of running jokes. The Kavanaugh hearings, the Supreme Court hearings. I mean, these are Saturday Night Live or Monty Python skits.
I think they have been the subject of such skits. But we'll find out. Saturday night's right around the corner. Is it a live show this weekend?
If it's not, they should all come back because they could get some ratings. and Alec Baldwin can play the president if he chooses to.
Why? Am I the only person that doesn't think he's funny at that? Everybody else is like, oh, my gosh, he's the president. I don't get it. All right, we're going to take a quickie break. We're talking about Alec Baldwin. Is he the best President Trump impersonator or not? I say no. Ben says yes, so we don't agree on that, but we'll take your view on this. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're talking impeachment. Earlier we talked about UPMC. Call us now. We would just love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com.
I think I can.
Sunbury Motors Kia knows they can. 2019 has been a great year for Sunbury Motors Kia. They need 24 new Kia sold to reach their best sales year ever. Buy a new 2020 Kia Soul S for only $17,549. Save over $4,300. Two SUVs you have to put on your list are the Kia Sorento and Sportage. At SMC, a 2020 Kia Sportage is a steal at $24,549. Save over
over $5,000.
And a 2019 Kia Sorento S all-wheel drive is $27,999.
That's over $8,000 in discounts.
Sunbury Motors needs just 24 new Kias sold
to break their one-year sales record.
And all Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
I think I can.
This little import dealer knows they can.
Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark, 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. Call in now. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com. Rob Satter, our fabulous producer, he's being the fabulist, so we appreciate that. We asked for and received calls as it related to just how terribly broken Washington is, and a man who has a partial solution is on the line. Good morning, John. Thanks for checking in.
Good morning, Mark. How are you this morning?
I'm doing just fabulously. Ben Reichley is here. And
morning, Ben.
Good morning, John.
So Washington is crippled, but can you think of anything that would help?
I have the solution. We all know that Washington is not going to fix itself. There is advantage to both parties in having constant warfare and having constant disagreement in Washington, and that's called the next election. And so there is a movement in the United States called the Convention of States. It has been passed in 15 states. The call for a convention of states has to have 34 states make application, and I am excited to say that the first step in Pennsylvania happens on Monday of next week, when a House committee will vote on whether to submit the application to the full House of Representatives in Harrisburg for approval. We're cautiously optimistic that the House will approve this, and that the committee will mark it up and send it on to the full House on Monday. So that's exciting.
All right. So what should we do in the meantime? Should I contact Senator Gordner or David Moreau?
Our state House representatives are who we need to contact now. So we have three in our area. We have Dave Rao. We have Linda Schlegel-Culver. We have
Kurt Mosser.
Kurt Mosser, and call their office, tell them that Washington isn't going to fix itself, and ask them to please join in and help the people change Washington, because Washington will not change itself.
So, John, you see this as a groundswell of frustration, maybe to a point that why Donald Trump's in the office of the presidency, but the frustration that people are having with the way Washington does not operate.
I do, Ben, and I think, you know, you and I talked about this, and Mark, I think we all agree that Washington is totally dysfunctional. It doesn't work for the people in Pennsylvania. It might work really well for the people in Washington and the suburbs right around Washington, but it doesn't work for us.
Is it dysfunction, or is it more of a bipolar scenario, meaning that I mean, you don't know which Republicans or Democrats, either of them can be Jekyll or either of them can be Hyde?
I agree with that, and half the time it's the establishment against the people.
Yes.
You know, this has almost ceased to be Democrat and Republican, unless you're such a diehard on either side that, you know, but for thinking people in the middle, when you have George Soros and his group and the Koch brothers both pushing for more immigration, which, by the way, passed the House of Representatives yesterday, and 34 Republicans voted for more illegal or more allowing more illegal immigrants to get work permits. This is crazy. It hurts the working people of the United States.
Yeah, if you put Soros and the one Koch brother, because one passed away, but also throw Paul Singer in there too. And the groups that, these are the, what I would refer to them as the puppet masters that are controlling the puppets, and the puppets are the people who need the campaign funds on both sides. I will say this, you have a president in there, like him or not, he's not beholden to the donors. And that's the frustration part of the donor groups down there, is that they can't control him. He doesn't need Big Pharma. And so it's pretty interesting when you peel back the onion, what you get. Look at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, not the local Chamber of Commerce, not your state, but look at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and they're all over the place. So there is, I think, John, the establishment, the term establishment, can make a lot of people turn up their noses.
Right. Well, and I think you're exactly right. Donald Trump was elected mostly because people were fed up with what's going on in Washington. Boris Johnson won overwhelmingly yesterday because the people of Great Britain are fed up with the elite ruling class telling them what they should think, how they should live, and so forth. What gives the ruling class the privilege of controlling the rest of us? And that gets back to your comment just now.
All right, John, reiterate briefly the elements of convention of state involve term limits. What else?
Okay, three things. Number one is term limits. Number two is shrinking the size and scope of the federal government. Number three would be a balanced budget with certain exceptions. Obviously, you're not going to have a balanced budget if the country's at war or if there's some tremendous disaster. But generally speaking, it would be a balanced budget with certain exceptions or caveats. So those three issues are what the Convention of States would consider. They wouldn't be able to talk about abortion, they wouldn't be able to talk about gun control, or anything like that. It would be limited to those three. 15 states have passed resolutions that limit it to those three issues.
Yeah, but
term limits. Go ahead.
But John, isn't that the basis of how the United States was established? Those three principles fit in there.
First of all, we need to understand that we have a democratic republic, that the power is vested in the states, and that the federal government only has power where the Constitution specifically grants it power. But the federal government has ignored that since the 1930s, and they have broadened things. They're doing things that they have no right to be doing, that the state should be in charge of, but the federal government, and with the help of the Supreme Court, has allowed the federal government to take over what rightfully is the prerogative of the states.
Well, thank you. Keep in touch. We really do want people to contact their state legislator. Bone up on this topic if necessary, but let your state legislator know that this is the only option to really drain the swamp or to get some positivity started in Washington, D.C.
And they can go to the website, conventionofstates.com, and read about it, get educated there, understand what's going on. An educated populace is the best answer, an educated populace.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, John Shipman, checking in from Sunday.
Good talking to you. You guys have a great day.
He'll be in the co-anchor chair here in the weeks ahead, I'm sure about that. Thank you, John. John Shipman of Sunbury, very active in the Convention of States, certainly a supporter of that, invited one of the state leaders to our program recently. Dan, stand by. We're going to take a quickie break. We will be right back in 2.5 minutes. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Dan, thank you for waiting. I don't know how long you waited, but way too long. But we appreciate your patience. Go right ahead. Now, you're on the mark.
Now, that was a worthwhile wait. Very informative. But what I was going to say, without the working man's vote, without the silent majority vote out here in red country, we'd have never knew how corrupt Washington really was. When I voted for Trump, I didn't realize the firestorm that was going to be started by voting for an anti-establishment president. And he, through him, we now know the deep state corruption that was in Washington, how they didn't want an outsider in there to upset the whole apple cart of the buddy system that exists. And now we're, the onion's being unpeeled, as John said, little by little, through the IG report, we realize that there was a deep state, not just people like me spouting off about it for a couple years. The truth's coming out, how they wanted to not let Trump get elected, to keep him out, and once he did get elected, they have that insurance policy to get him out of office. And this impeachment process started even before he was in office. So we see the deep state corruption going on, and it's really sad for people like me that voted for Trump, how corrupt things really, really are down there.
Well, fortunately, he hasn't really been thwarted by this. You know, obviously, it's significant harassment that's probably pretty stressful for him, but they're not going to not kick him out of office. Of course, he will stand for re-election. Lawrence's worthless view is he'll probably be re-elected, and so he's not going to be thwarted. Well, we have more calls coming in, believe it or don't.
Yeah, you guys, good program, good talking with you. You guys have a good weekend.
Hey, you too, buddy. We'll see you on Monday. Thank you, Dan, our good caller there. Cindy, thank you for waiting. You are now on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. Boy, I wholeheartedly support that we have a national constitutional convention. Just like we see here in Pennsylvania, that our legislators will not act in the best interest of the people, but will instead protect their best interests and that of their donors, we see the very same thing down in Washington. And the good news is that this privilege of having this convention is written right in the Constitution. We have no such ability to intervene at the state level, sadly. But we do have this at the national level. And it's long overdue that we rethink the construct of that Constitution and adjust it appropriately.
Because
I wholeheartedly support it.
And it's supposed to be a working document. You know, we definitely passed it back in the day, but now it's the time to amend it to make sure that it is taking good care of our citizens. Term limits, I think, is, you know, certainly mandatory in my view. Another thing that came up today is we've heard that the president is immune to special interests because he's so wealthy. He's immune to the impact and influence of donors. Have you found that to be true? I know the NRA tells him what to do, and he does it. But have you found, other than that, have you found that he's immune to special interests?
I don't know that I've examined that issue, so I really can't answer it. But isn't that the exact same argument that this New York billionaire is making in terms of his nomination? He's not going to take any money from outside resources. He's only going to use his money. And let me point out, as I recall, President Trump used $250, $300 million to get elected. Remember, at the time, there was an enormous outcry about too much money in politics. Mrs. Clinton had raised $1 billion to get elected. The same was true of Obama, if not more. And interestingly, both of them, the largest part of their money came from Wall Street interests. So whether you can actually poke a finger at it or not, I don't know. I can't say one way or the other, Mark.
Okay.
I have not examined that.
All right,
to
be continued. Thank you so much, Cindy. Thanks for checking in. Always wonderful to hear from you. That Mike, last caller before a quickie break. You are on the mark.
Yeah, I want to take exception to that guy that just called a couple calls ago about this state's constitution thing. He made it sound like everything's rosy with the state's constitution thing, and that would solve all our problems. And does that mean he has the gall to think that people walking around now, these wild-eyed right-wingers and people that don't believe in, that think that Christianity is the national religion and all those kind of folks have the statesmanship abilities and knowledge and insights that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, who were fighting against the British Empire, by the way. Does he actually think that there's people walking around now with statesmanship abilities to make proper decisions?
Well, like, one thing's for
like
sure.
Like they did way back then when it was unheard of to do what they did? Well, is that what he's saying?
Well, no, absolutely, positively not. The Convention of States doesn't have anything to do with that. But what you're saying is that if you have... If you have a Convention of States, you will... open up opportunities for superior leaders like the George Washingtons of our country to come in. Now they can. You know, now we have Mr. Fred Keller and Mr. Dan Muser, for example. If they serve in Republican areas, if they do well and continue to be reelected, they could do this for 20 years. But let's suppose, just speculating, they get entrenched in the swamp in Washington. They do no good. We have a great deal of difficulty getting them out. We'll never get a George Washington. This way, if there is a George Washington or a Thomas Jefferson of our time, they have a greater chance of getting in office.
Out or just getting Democrats out?
What's that? Say that question again.
Getting who out? Well, you said getting them out.
People that who? Aren't super serving their constituents or our nation anymore.
That constituency is the ones that continuously votes them in. So what are you talking about?
Well, there are people who vote people in, but it turns out that once those individuals get to Washington, they don't serve this country very well. Look at the fact that every...
So, in other words, the constituency has made a poor choice.
Is that plainly obvious? Look at Washington now. If Washington is broken, whose fault is it? You don't think Washington...
My question was about calling a state's constitution that opens up the entire constitution for revision, and I don't think there's people with knowledge and statesmanship that are up to that task right now in this uninformed country that we live in.
It doesn't do that. Yeah, bone up on that topic. You'll find out that that's not what it does.
Not what it is.
We're going to take a quickie break. We will be right back.
'Twas the days before Christmas, and all through the town, Sunbury Motors was where all the car deals were found. This holiday season will be filled with glee, because out in the driveway is a shiny new Ford from SMC.
At Sunbury Motors Ford, choose from over 20 new Ford Escape 4x4s with discounts up to $9,700. And they're priced as low as $23,915. Pick from over 110 new Ford trucks with savings up to $15,500. And they start as low as $26,794. Take up to $20,257 off of a lease of a 2019 Ford Fusion Energy. That's over half off. This amazing vehicle gets 103 mpg. 2019 Ford Expedition XLTs are slashed $11,550. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 72 months. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
SMC wishes you and your family a safe and joyous holiday season.
All right, welcome back. 5 minutes, two callers, 2.5 minutes each. We got to put Bill in the radio if that's going to work. Go ahead, Bill. You are on the mark. There we go. Go ahead.
Very good on the new impeachment. Good morning, gentlemen. I just want to say that that young girl got that.
Time Magazine.
Yeah, that was an agenda. There was nothing behind that other than an agenda.
Okay. All right.
Second, on the impeachment right now, the Democrats are pushing this through, and all they want is a title. That's all they want is a title. I disagree with Lindsey Graham. That is, as soon as it goes to the Senate, if they vote to impeach him, that he wants to, within 5 minutes, to take a vote and shoot it down. I disagree because he don't want to add merit to it. I disagree. I think they should drag it out and put everybody up on the stand. And, you know, he thinks that it's, you know, by a quick vote, it'll prove that it's a hoax, whatever. All they do is the Dems, Pelosi and them. They've been running the media for 3 years. They got them on their side. Up to the election, the 300 some days left. All they do is want to say the impeach President Trump. That's all they want, the title. For from here on in, they want that to say impeach President Trump. That's it. They want narratives to run on TV. for the uneducated voter, and at the bottom line, that's it. And they wasted all this money,
so you want the Senate to?
I hope you want the Senate drags it out and puts them all on the stand.
Bill, you want the Senate to waste more money and have a big spectacle, right?
Well, no, to straighten everything out and expose these people, and so the American people could see that the ones that don't follow everything and see the corruption, and put the Bidens and the Hunters and all them on the stand. And get them to lie under oath and lock them up.
Get a big spectacle going, yep. All right, we got you, Bill. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in. We really appreciate your viewpoint. I think a lot of people agree with you that let's really lay this all out in the U.S. Senate when we have a chance later this month or next year. Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. There we go. Paul, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Well, you guys are talking about two movies that comes to play, Jerry Lewis in The Patsy and Robin Williams in The President, and each one is an absolute duplicate of what is happening now in Washington.
Okay.
Absolute everything.
Are there any movies about the Andrew Johnson impeachment? Joe tells us that was the same also.
Mm-hmm. That was based on a duel. But so why is Robin Williams depicting the current president?
Well, because in the movie, he was appointed by the people, and what he did was he took orders from the party, and he put into legal matters as to what the party wanted, regardless if it was for or against the people.
Well, do you think this president's doing that? I don't see that at all.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you talk to any military guy, you will find out that it's one of those deals like MacArthur. He said, I just take orders.
All right, we got you, brother. Thanks for calling in, Paul. Appreciate the comment.
Well, have a good weekend. We'll see the impeachment circus go on here today. A big deal in the UK. Look for the stock market to be up. 401ks are going to be positive with the China deal. So a lot of positives going on, but we'll talk next week.
All right, thank you so much, sir. Ben Reichley, our co-host. Rob Center, the producer. I'm Mark Lawrence. This is WDKO, okay, Sunbury.